Hello and welcome to the Gaming Aroma Podcast. I'm your host, KDB. This is episode 2. I'm officially on a streak. Not a streak, you know, not one of those. Not a streak. I am fully dressed right now. Does 2 count as a streak? It's the beginning of a streak, right? What's the minimum for a streak? For a streak of episodes. How many matches did The Undertaker win at WrestleMania before they started calling it a streak? I'd love to know. Send me a postcard. Let me know about that. In my mind, this is a streak. 2 Sundays in a row. It is Sunday, the 25th of February, 2024. I'm back for another episode of my broad gaming chat. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of breath. I just ran up the stairs after getting my shopping delivered. My Tesco shop. Do you get your shopping delivered? I can't stand going to the supermarket anymore. I just think... I don't mind if I'm just like popping in for one thing. And sometimes I'll take my kid in because he's like 5 and a half nearly. And so going to the supermarket still kind of blows his mind. If we're going to like the toy aisle or something. But I just can't be dealing with how precious my time is to have to drive to the supermarket, you know, drive to... the closest I go to a supermarket is Aldi on a Saturday morning because I'm in and out in sort of 10 minutes. But the big supermarkets where we do our weekly food shop, this is nothing to do with gaming, obviously. I'm just letting you know why I'm out of breath. Yeah, I don't like going to the supermarket. There's too many people there. It's too many... too many idiots. There's too many doddery people in the supermarket and I can't be doing with that. So it's too much of a time suck. We get it delivered. Probably means our weekly shop costs us another £2 on top because of the delivery charge and that. So the shopping was just delivered. I was sitting down to record and then, the doorbell went and shopping was here. So I quickly unpacked it, put all the cold stuff away, put the freezer stuff away. And I ran upstairs, sat down, hit record. I'm out of breath. So I probably should have given myself a few minutes to calm down and catch my breath. But yes, my point is I'm here 2 weeks in a row for my Gaming Aroma podcast, a general gaming chat, my chance to just kind of have a, not rant, just, you know, have a talk, have a vent about gaming news and what I'm playing. And yeah, thank you to everyone who listened to the first episode. Thank you to everyone who shared it, who liked it. People sent me I had comments on YouTube from a couple of buddies and people sent me some messages, had people asking to come on. So yeah, I'm excited. Like between this and all the other stuff I do, like I feel like I'm in a good spot now. Time management is okay. But yeah, this feels like, as I said on the previous episode, this is just an easy thing for me to do on a Sunday morning. Like I'm here by myself at the moment. The house is dead quiet. It's perfect. I've got my coffee, of course. Gaming chat fueled by coffee, that is the theme of this podcast. So let's get down to business. Yeah, there's a few things I wanted to just go over, and then I've got a nice big gameplay section because I've been playing one game specifically this week that I've got a lot to say about. So I'm just gonna top off that's probably not the appropriate phrase. I'm just gonna start off with an addendum, because on the previous episode I talked a lot about Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, and in gaming news this week, Warner Brothers confirmed that Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has not met their expectations. Obviously player numbers are not high, I guess sales are not high, that will not be helped by the poor reviews. As I mentioned on the last episode, I think the reviews were mostly hush for a game that is sort of in a chapter one phase. But this week, I know that in the past week, they put a patch out, which caused a load of issues, and there's players that can't even log in and play the game, and Suicide Squad is having a hell of a time at the moment. Things weren't bad enough, it just seems to kind of be getting worse and worse, and to the point where it's like, yeah, those player counts. We don't have console player counts, and apparently that's obviously more people are playing it on console, but the Steam player counts are like barely hitting 1,000, and that's not good for a service game. It is a shame because the devs have quite proudly outspoken about how much how much they love the game and how proud they are of their work. And the game is good at its core. It's just being hampered by some online issues and stuff like that. But you know what? Service game isn't. Look at Helldivers 2. Everyone thinks that game's great, but still there's hundreds of thousands of people that can't even fucking play it. And yeah, and that's a 9 out of 10. Go figure. Anyway, so I just wanted to addendum previous episode with that. So good luck to Suicide Squad. Good luck to Rocksteady. You could turn it around. I really hope they turn it around because I like the game. And I was definitely doing some more of the endgame content and, you know, those mastery levels and stuff like that if you play the game. Stuff that I don't usually do, but it was because it's so tight and fun to play. Yeah, I've been enjoying it. That's not been my main game this week, which I'll get to at the end. So yeah, good luck, Rocksteady. You can turn it around. This week, two or three news things I wanted to talk about. The first one is Microsoft is apparently launching a digital-only Xbox Series X in June or July this year. Now, loads of places reported this. I've got a article here from Eurogamer. If you're in gaming news, you would have seen that there was all those leaks from the FTC court case last year where there was some Microsoft documentation from 2020, so it was already 3 years old by the time 2021, I don't know. But I know it was old documentation. And in there was a digital Series X, which they called Adorably All Digital, which that is just disgusting. I mean, no, there's no Adorably All Digital. Now, granted, this stuff was never supposed to be seen by the public. I would be stunned if they still went with that tagline. But yeah, the reason I wanted to touch on this is because, all digital, physical games. Are they being binned off by Microsoft? Apparently not. Phil Spencer says no, that that people are still buying physical, so they're still in the physical market. But there has definitely been uproar online, as always, as it always is, when these sort of new recent reports have re-emerged that yes, a digital only Series X is launching this year. So what does it say here on Eurogamer? So they noted leaks. Xtas, writing for Xputer, has claimed that not only are Microsoft's all digital Series Xbox plans still alive, the console is set to release sometime between the upcoming months of June and July, although chances of a slight delay remain. According to the leaker, claims to have seen confidential footage of the new console, the digital-only version of the Xbox Series X, as well as jettisoning the optical disc drive of the original model. Yeah, which, yes, we'll talk about that in a sec. It's also claimed that the revision will be white, an inversion of the current Series X colour scheme. It sounds like other aspects of the console remain the same. Also looking at a cylindrical design, front-facing USB slot, improved Wi-Fi, refresh controller, decreased power draw, but none of those... it was just saying here that the last year's leak, that was all the stuff from the FTC, yeah, but this new report suggests none of those, so this is a far less wide-ranging version. And when the leaks came out last year, everyone was like, oh yeah, they're moving away from physical, that's it, physical's dead. And... which, you know, there's a lot of conversation you can have about Microsoft and physical. The discs they use generally don't always have the full games on and stuff like that. Sometimes they do, but very rarely. But the reason I wanted to point this out is because there's been massive uproar. But I don't know. I don't want to just sound like a whiner, but, you know, Sony already did this. they've already done this, right? In late last year, Sony released a PS5 Slim, which is an all-digital version. And I know they have an all-digital console already, same like Xbox have the Series S. And people were perfectly happy with that. And Sony also launched a detachable disc drive. And it's like, whoa, okay, so yeah, it's fine. You've still got the option if you want. But, you know, there's nothing to say that Microsoft aren't going to launch a detachable disc drive with this new Xbox as well. And I hope they do, just because there was celebrations for the PS5 Slim and its adorably all digitalness. And then there's just been outcry that Xbox is killing off physical with this new Series X that's coming out. Now, I don't know what their future plans are. I imagine all consoles want to move away from physical in the long run. I think that's the way things are going. But not yet. Not for a little while. What does this mean, bringing out an Xbox Series X digital? Well, it means it'll be cheaper. I mean, apparently, this is kind of the only way the manufacturers are able to bring the price of the console down. So if you want that power of the Series X that you're not getting in the Series S, but you don't want to pay the $400 or whatever it is, maybe this gets you it for $350. And so you got the power, but the trade-off is no disc drive. That's not for me. No, thank you. I still like to buy physical as much as possible, so I won't be interested. And then it's like, well, if there's no increase in power, there's no reason to get it really, because you think, well, if there's increase in power, I'll buy that, and then I'll buy the external optical disc drive, which hasn't leaked and hasn't been announced, and then it's kind of worth getting. But yeah, for me, I still like physical, and it's not exciting to see this move to all digital. I get the convenience of digital, I do, and I do have some digital games. But yeah, so apparently it's coming. Apparently, we won't be having any kind of huge, like, mid-gen refresh or anything like that. Sony apparently have this PS5 Pro on the way, but nothing in sight from Xbox yet, although they've talked about new hardware coming in the future. Who knows? But yeah, I just wanted to kind of point out, it's funny that Sony already released their new all-digital console last November. Everyone loved it. Xbox are apparently going to... Well, my phone needs to be put on silent. Let's put that on silent. Shut up. How unprofessional of me. I better check it's not an emergency. No, it's not an emergency. What was I saying? Yeah, Sony released a digital one. Everyone loved it. Xbox are going to release one, and they're killing physical, and they're evil, and it's monstrous, and how can they do this? But, you know, that's just gamers for you, I suppose. Yeah, I think about games I bought recently, and it's mostly been physical. Well, I had an issue last year where I thought my Series X disc drive was broken, so for about 6 months... any of the games I bought was digital, like RE4 Remake I bought was digital, AEW Fight Forever was digital. I'm sure there's another one in there somewhere as well. But yes, where possible, I like to buy physical. So yeah, I won't be upgrading to this unless there's any kind of secret power stuff that hasn't leaked out yet that's interesting. That kind of gives me a reason to upgrade to it. I'm perfectly happy with the Series X. I would just like to buy a PS5. I talked about this last time. If they're bringing out a PS5 Pro, I mean, maybe there'll be a price drop on the base model, but I think the plan would be to phase that model out, and it'd be really hard to get, and then the price would just stay the same. So I don't know. I kind of lately I've been thinking I would really like to have a PS5, but I'm not spending that money on it, so... I'm interested to see what happens to the pricing scale when that Pro comes out, because, yeah, that Pro, by all accounts, is going to be upwards of £600. So, yeah, that's not something I'm going to be buying. And if there's an Xbox Series, you know, X2 or what, Xbox Series X Pro, Xbox Series X Elite, I guess they could call it that. If that's like $600, $650, $700, no, it's just, there need to be a real good reason to upgrade. But yeah, so more consoles on the way, apparently. I'd quite like that Xbox handheld that's also rumoured. More interested in that than a adorably all digital console, that's for sure. Even though I suppose that would be all digital, right? But you know, that's the trade-off. That's a worthy trade-off. What else do we have? Gaming news. So, there was a cut there. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think I have to because I actually can't stop thinking about it. And that is the trailer for Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree came out. My journey with Elden Ring has been as follows. I didn't even know what it was. I knew what Dark Souls was. And I had seen friends of mine kind of chatting about Elden Ring, but because I had no investment and didn't know what it was, that stuff went completely over my head. I never really looked into it. I maybe saw like one screenshot or, I don't know, you know, one article with something, but it just wasn't on my radar. The thing that piqued my interest about Elden Ring, and this is proof that this shit still works, is there were Elden Ring TV ads, and there was a TV ad for Elden Ring, which was incredible. And I remember it, the titles coming up on screen, it saying that George R.R. Martin was involved, and, you know, whatever you think about him, you know, I thought, oh, okay, that's a big deal, and this, the style of this game looks good, and this must be a big deal. If they're putting a TV ad out for it, this has to be something big. So it really caught my eye there. So I jumped on the Elden Wing? Jumped on that Elden Wing and flew onto the hype the hype train for Elden Ring. Yeah, and I got Elden Ring and played it, and I wouldn't say I was rubbish at it, but I got really frustrated because I was new to the Souls games, and yeah, and I loved what I was playing. I loved the exploration and all that, but never finished it. After playing Elden Ring, I moved on to other stuff, and then eventually I'd circled back round and I played Dark Souls 3 and Dark Souls 1. Still have never played Dark Souls 2. And then I played through Elden Ring again with kind of this renewed experience and, I guess, skill, if you like, this new approach to the game. And I flew through it. I didn't finish it. I got to a bit further than what I'd got previously with the game. So I'm essentially on the last two bosses, the last two mainline bosses anyway. But then RE4 Remake came out, so I put down Elden Ring again. And then, so that's like a year ago, right? RE4 Remake came out in March last year, I think. So yeah, I haven't played Elden Ring in a year. So I played the first year it came out, the second year, and then here we are again 3 years later. When did it come out? 2022 or 2 years later? And yeah, I haven't played it since, but then this trailer dropped and I got that bug again. I got bitten hard, and I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Elden Ring, but fucking hell, this trailer looks so good, and they called it a gameplay trailer, which is kind of dumb because it was mainly cinematic stuff. Loads of bosses and stuff on show. I really hope it's not just, okay, let's crank up the difficulty even more and loads of bosses that are just going to really kind of terrorize you and be so hard to beat. Like, I don't want that. And I know maybe hardcore Souls players do, but I just want to kind of enjoy the world and the style. And I do like the combat. It's not perfect, but for me, just kind of getting sucked into the world is more important. And if that enjoyment is hampered by just boss battles that are absolutely nuts, then, you know, maybe it might not be as good. But so this is coming out, let's have a look, when's the date? June, right? I haven't got it here. I thought I had it here. Shadow of the Erdtree is out on the 21st of June, which is the day before my birthday. So, yeah, I'll definitely be picking it up. I'm very excited for that. I'm just looking at some of the screenshots again here. There was that thing where there's like, so there was a couple that really caught my eye. One with the face sucking thing. Oh my God, here it is. Yeah, yeah. So there was, it's like a giant worm with long arms sucking on someone's head, and they held on this shot. My God, it absolutely disgusting, but yeah, really enjoyed that. There was some nice shots of like it out in the fields and stuff, like there were some glowing flowers which looked really, really nice. That's one of the things I like about Elden Ring as opposed to the other Souls games, is as it's still got that kind of like somber dreariness to it, but Elden Ring is way more vibrant and has those blues and purples kind of in a big way, you know? So I'm a big fan of that. And then the other thing was the guy. Yeah, there was this character just like pulling. I'm not going to say it was a skeleton. Let's see, is there a screenshot here somewhere? Yeah, here it is. So it's like, it's almost like a skeleton or like an undead character pulling a sword out of their eye. Or is it a sword? Let's zoom in. Pulling a sword. What does this caption say here? Okay, so this caption seems to think it's a tree branch, but that's with a question mark. So it's like a tree branch or a sword pulling a weapon out of its face. And that was superb. I mean, this is what I mean, just about the style. I mean, even if you don't like playing these games, they're worth just looking at because they are pretty stunning. And but yeah, so I've been thinking about this trailer a lot, and I am now tempted to go back and revisit my... I can't start Elden Ring again. What I'm going to have to do is jump back in, play around with where my character was for a couple of hours to reacquaint myself with the controls and my weapons and everything like that. Because you can't... It's not pick up and play. You know, you need to really reacquaint yourself with it. So I'm going to do that and try to finally finish Elden Ring in time for June the 21st. So I've got a bit of time, but I'm in the mood now, and I guess I'm kind of cooling on Suicide Squad until that first season update comes out. So yeah, I might jump back to Elden Ring, get that finished finally. Why is my phone going off? I literally put it on silent. There is motion at your front door. So yeah, that was my Ring app telling me that there was a car driving past the house. I thought I'd turn the sensitivity of those notifications down. I also thought I'd put my phone on silent, so I don't know what's going on there. I do have a new phone. If you follow me on Instagram, yesterday I picked up the Galaxy S24 Ultra, so the big bad boy. It's my first decent phone in sort of 6 years. I've been living with rubbish phones for a while, and my previous phone, it was absolutely on its arse. It was unusable anymore. I was getting really sad that I couldn't take decent pictures. So I went and bit the bullet and actually got a really, really good deal on it. They traded in I was expecting them to give me like 20 quid for my old phone, and they gave me £200 towards my, this purchase. Well, essentially they gave me £200 cash, like into my bank account, and that covered like my fees and stuff to get this, this new phone. So I'm really happy with that. And I'm still getting to grips with it. This is not a tech review podcast, but I absolutely love it. What was I saying? So yeah, gonna try and finish Elden Ring, and also on my podcast listening, I'm gonna go back and revisit Bonfireside Chat, which is that incredible Souls podcast. Which I previously, when playing Elden Ring, it was like my companion to playing the game. So I think I'm gonna go back and binge it because I love those guys. Highly recommended because the way they talk about the franchise is kind of really accessible as well. And for games where the story isn't necessarily evident and obvious, they are, kind of a really valuable companion. Of course, with like Art of Vidya and stuff on YouTube as well, who I have watched plenty of videos from. But yes, the Elden Ring train is moving again. Looking forward to that. Next bit of news I just wanted to very quickly touch on, and then I'm going to get to some gameplay, is another trailer, and that is the Borderlands movie trailer came out, which everyone really fucking hates. Except for me, I don't hate it. So the Borderlands film, which has been through many reshoots and had a bit of development hell, the film is finally coming out. The trailer launched, and I have no investment into Borderlands at all. I think I've played like two of the games for 5 or 6 hours. I know what it is because, you see the characters and stuff, and you throughout the years of being a gamer, Borderlands is something that's always been there. And I can't say I dislike it. I haven't played it enough to really make an opinion on it. It's just one of those things that's kind of passed me by. But yeah, so the movie trailer came out, and I mean, the main response I saw, I suppose, was from Borderlands fans just calling it shit and calling out the casting and saying it looks terrible. My feeling is, as I say, I have no investment in Borderlands, and that probably helps my enjoyment of it because I think it looks absolutely fine. It looks kind of run of the mill. It really, really wants to be Guardians of the Galaxy, which, I highly doubt it's going to have the quality of something like the original Guardians. But, I thought the visuals were good. I thought the characters looked cool. I thought, the effects and kind of the vibrancy and weirdness of it. I don't dislike the casting. I really like that Cate Blanchett and Jamie Lee Curtis both seem to be pivotal characters. Kevin Hart, I'm not, you know, I could take him or leave him. Sometimes I've watched Kevin Hart movies and thought they're hilarious, and I've watched some of his comedy and thought it's great. Other times I'm like, yeah, you're just phoning this in. You know, he's movie star name kind of actor to sell, you know, to get people to come, I think. He's not really looking to win any awards for his performance, but, you know, he's adding a bit of fun to the movie. It really looks like it's leaning into comedy, probably with some violence as well. I'm not really sure. Does it have an age rating? Like, I guess it's trying to find that middle ground, right? It's not really aimed at just adults, but it wants maybe younger audiences to come and see it or with their parents. So it's going to be like aimed at teenagers and family, I suppose. Well, not family, like, you know, with really young kids. But yeah, I didn't really get the hate, to be honest. I thought for a movie, it looked fine. I'm definitely going to watch it. Am I going to go to the cinema and watch it? Probably not. This is more like not doing anything on a Saturday night or a Sunday. Put it on the telly, rent it maybe for $3.99 and watch it and just kind of switch your brain off and enjoy it. But that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Not every film has to challenge you, and it definitely doesn't look challenging, but it looks fun. Looked kind of cute and, yeah, visually cool, and, yeah, who knows. There's a few good cast members in there. I think it's got something. So I'm on board with Borderlands in terms of watching it, but yeah, not on board to the point yet where I'm buying a ticket to go to the cinema, which I suppose says a lot. You know, I'm here saying it doesn't look that bad, but, you know, I guess it doesn't look that good either. I just didn't think it looked like the absolute dumpster fire that everybody's been calling it. So, but that's just classic Twitter response, really, I suppose. Another thing I said last week, like, everything has to be either incredible or really shit, right? There's no in between. This for me just looks in between, like, fine. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch it. Look out for my review on Letterboxd later in the year, whenever it comes out. Yeah, so what do you think about the news? What do you think about the digital consoles? What do you think about Elden Ring? What do you think about Borderlands? Let me know, tweet me, leave a comment on the YouTube video or whatever. Yeah, I'm not putting like a massive amount of back end into getting this on YouTube and stuff. It's putting this podcast out, the first episode, by far and away the most plays I had was on YouTube, which is fine. You know, that's an easy way to watch stuff. I'm kind of surprised because I don't know how many people out there have YouTube Premium, which I guess you'd need to enjoy long form stuff. I prefer the podcast apps. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you want to keep listening. But wherever you're listening to this, thank you. And yeah, and I am still on Twitter for now. So come and send your reactions to the Borderlands trailer to me. Let me know what you think. And that's it for news, really. I mean, there's a few other things, but as I said last time, I'm not diving into every single topic. It's just the stuff that's been on my mind. And the Series X thing, Elden Ring and Borderlands are definitely, for the past 7 days, the three that I guess I thought about the most. Moving on to actual video games that I've been playing, or one in particular, and I also, I know I keep saying this, mentioned this right at the very end last week, but I've been playing Tomb Raider Remastered 1-3, but not 1-3, I've just been playing 1. My first reaction to this is, how did I play this when I was 10 years old? I cannot understand how this game is so difficult, and I played it like it was, you know, like the best thing ever. Clearly, I've just devolved and regressed in terms of awareness, reaction time, and everything like that, because I'm playing Tomb Raider 1, right? I'll get to gameplay more in a minute. Let's start first. So this game, why did I get it? It was cheap. I mean, it's Tomb Raider, the original Tomb Raider. I'm a sucker for the toxic nostalgia, as you know. And it's like $23.99 to buy. Only digital, though, which is really frustrating. I was tempted to wait and see if they bring out a physical version later, but I don't know. I really fancied diving into some old Tomb Raider, so I picked it up. I could always pick up the physical down the line if it does eventually come out. But yeah, I picked it up because it's cheap. Man, I forgot that opening theme, that music on the menu screen. I don't think I've heard that music since. I mean, I probably have, like, peripherally over the years, but when that screen booted up and that theme played, you know the theme I'm talking about. I had a moment. I was like, whoa. I was like the guy in Ratatouille when he eats the food and gets transported back to being a child, right? And so that hit me big time. And even Jess, my wife, she was just like, oh, Tomb Raider, classic Tomb Raider. Like, she's played, you know, nearly everyone has played Tomb Raider when they were younger. So yeah, big smile on my face with that opening theme. Went straight into Lara's home and had a run around and, you know, all that stuff you do. The butler, putting the butler in the freezer isn't until Tomb Raider 2. But I did hop on to Tomb Raider 2 very quickly just to do that, of course. Otherwise, what's the point? But yeah, Tomb Raider 1, picked it up because it was cheap. The opening theme, I was ready to go. This is a remaster. It is definitely just a remaster. And to be honest, it's a bare minimum remaster, I want to say. Which, okay, that's too harsh. You can, so while you're playing, you can hit start and you can switch, like the Master Chief Collection, you can instantly switch between old graphics and new graphics, right? Which I love, that's awesome. There's also a photo mode which has been added, which is incredible. Thank you for adding that, Crystal Dynamics. That is who did this, right? Crystal Dynamics. I can't even speak. In terms of how this looks as a remaster, Lara looks incredible. There are various portions of the levels which have been, new models have been built with new textures, and there's new lighting and a few particle effects and stuff like that. But it's like 60% remaster, because then the rest of it is, well, first of all, there is some horrible use of AI upscaling. And just to clarify, I don't really have a massive problem with AI upscaling, like, which is, you know, this tool that can be used to take the old textures and interpret them and blow them up. It's like, okay, if that's what you're going to do and it's going to get this game out to me and it's going to, you know, make it purchasable, fine. I mean, if they're not going to spend the money on remaking every new texture, which, you know, would take a long time, let's be honest. It doesn't really create anything new. It just takes that old pixelated texture and blows it up and smooths it out a bit like a filter. And sometimes it looks fine and other times it looks god awful. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, and the way some of the textures stretch and things like that. And I really noticed that. They've done the same for the cutscenes, for the FMV sequences. I'm pretty sure they've just been AI upscaled, and it looks really ropey at times. So I think visuals-wise and as a remaster, I would have liked a bit more work to have gone into it. It's fine. And ironically, I've been 90% of the time playing with the old graphics. So, which, you know, for me, that's reason enough to buy. I think, what is it, 20, 24 quid or whatever I said. If I didn't have the new graphics and I just had, you know, the old graphics and the modern controls that it's got, which I get to in a sec, that's worth the money. I didn't really need those new graphics, although Lara looks good, and there are some sections where if you compare between them, it's like, okay, yeah, they've put a lot of effort here. Some of the big statues and stuff like that. The enemies, they haven't put any real effort into the enemies, the animals and the monsters, you know, the mutants and stuff. Some of that looks AI upscaled as well, and is very, very hit and miss. It runs fine, you know. There's no like frame rate issues or anything like that. But the old version runs at 30 frames per second, which I don't know why. Maybe it could have been faster, but anyway. So some kind of lazy use of upscaling, But it does the job, I suppose. I mean, maybe lots of people aren't going to notice that. I definitely noticed it. And it just meant that I preferred to play in the old graphics. Because, you know, that's it. I felt at home there, right? So as a remaster, fine. It's great that it's a package. You know, sounds good, runs good. Just some of that dodgy texture work. And yeah, where it looks good, it looks good. Where it looks bad, it looks bad. But just play it with the old graphics, right? Play it as they originally intended. Excuse me. In terms of playing it, as I said, at the start, I don't know how I played this when I was a child. So yeah, I think I would have been 10. When did it come out? Tomb Raider, 1997. I was 10 years old in 1997, and I would have been playing it. And I don't think I ever completed the original Tomb Raider as a child, but I definitely got far. And I would have used, like, a magazine walkthrough to help me, maybe, sometimes. But even with that, even with a guide, just getting around and... on the original PlayStation, you couldn't save all the time. Here, on this new one, you can save all the time, and you can save scum, which, thank fucking God you can do that, because there are so many times in this game where you will just walk around a corner and fall to your death, or walk around a corner and a blade will slice you in half. And you could have been playing for like 25 minutes, traversing all these dangerous platforms, shooting enemies, and then you just walk around a corner and you're dead. And then you've got to hope that you've saved in the last 25 minutes. And even in this modern version, you have to keep... there's no auto-save, so... if you're playing it, my advice is just save like every 5 minutes, because yeah, you will get really frustrated having to do some really difficult sections of game. The game is difficult kind of from start to finish, especially if you don't know where you're going. Controls wise, there's two options. You can play with the original tank controls or modern controls. Neither feel perfect, to be honest. The tank controls do feel very dated, and I'm fine with tank controls, but I think they work better with static camera, not with not with the movable camera that like Tomb Raider has. Obviously, it was fine back in the day, because I guess that's all you know, and you just are kind of forced to adapt to it. Whereas all the improvements we've had over the years, it shows its age with the tank controls. But then you think of something like Resident Evil with a static camera, it's much more easier to navigate with the tank controls because you haven't got the camera moving around. So for example, like, you could just be walking in a straight line, but then if the camera turns, you need to make sure that you're holding the same direction to keep going the same way. And with static camera, you can much more easily move between left and right and turning on the spot and stuff like that. It's kind of hard to explain, but I guess if you use tank controls, you know what I'm talking about. You really, really have to rewire your brain hard. And you have the modern controls, where are much more, yeah, it's not tank controls, you can just use the analog stick and move Lara around a lot easier. But then ironically, with the modern controls, doing some of the jumping is more difficult, because the jumping in this game is built for tank controls, and the way you could kind of jump forward, then jump to the side, then jump back, and then jump to the side again. If you don't have tank controls on, doing that is a lot more difficult. So it is fiddly and finicky to play. I did see someone online talk about how... there was a tweet, I can't remember their name, but they said how, over the years, our attention span has been destroyed, which it has. And despite Tomb Raider Remastered being really finicky to play, it is really good. And it's, this slower pace that it offers is, like a big thumbs up. And yeah, I completely agree. And I replied saying that I've been having fun with this puzzle game, because it basically is a puzzle game. You know, it's sold as like this Tomb Raider action adventure type of thing. It's a puzzle game. You've really got to think about what you're doing, and you've got to plot out your route and make sure you're pressing the right buttons. And yeah, it's a great change of pace from some modern stuff. Definitely got all the nostalgic feels with it. It is a bit fiddly to play, but after, 2 or 3 hours, you're in the mindset, and you're okay. You should be okay. But there's definitely lots of times where I've been accidentally just stepping off an edge and falling and landing on some spikes, or even just trying to lock on to some of the enemies and jump around, and you're flipping the wrong way. Another thing that is hilarious is in So when you're playing with the old graphics, if there's like a key on the floor, the key is like the size of Lara's leg and you can't miss it, right? Which is great. If you're playing with the remastered graphics, the keys are the size of actual keys and you can't fucking see them. Then there's just... I don't know how they expect people to see these. Now, when you walk near them, a little exclamation mark appears and you know to interact with it. But you're rarely walking so slow that you see that. You know, you're running around a room looking for stuff. And there was times when I was playing with the remastered graphics where I'd just go in and out of a room and completely miss that there was a key in there. And then be wandering around for 10 minutes and then struggling on where to go and just feeling stuck. And then you switch to the... It's kind of like... It's like a tip, you know, it's or a hint. You think, right, I'll switch to the old graphics and stuff becomes a bit more contrasted and yeah, and the items are massive and easier to see. And you're like, oh, no, there's a key over there. I just completely fucking missed it. So, yeah, it's been a really funny one to play. But I've definitely been hooked and I'm very nearly finished. I think I'm on either the last level or the last two levels. I'm in it. I think it's the Atlantis levels. It's taken me a while. I've been playing it for maybe like an hour a night over the past week or so, maybe a couple of hours here and there, but I'm nearly done with it. Really, I'm happy with the purchase despite the finicky controls. I think if you played Tomb Raider, and I haven't even got to Tomb Raider 2 yet, which is another one that I played loads of. I probably played Tomb Raider 2 more. Funnily enough, I think Tomb Raider 1, I played that more on the PC. I definitely played it on PlayStation, but whenever the PC port came out, I would have played it more on there. But Tomb Raider 2, I definitely played on the PlayStation more. The reason I played it more on the PC is because we had a totally legitimate version of it. Yes, but I'm very happy with my purchase. I think if you've got 25 quid to spare and you liked Tomb Raider back in the day, definitely pick it up. It's a lot of fun. And the photo mode is absolutely fucking hilarious. I've been taking loads of screenshots. Some that I have saved on Twitter, but some I've just got saved back in my library now. Yeah, really, really good fun. February obviously is now drawing to a close, but you know there's loads more games to come out this year. I mentioned about playing Elden Ring, which I think I'm definitely going to do. But in March, there's a few things coming out which I'm really looking forward to play, because you know I'm thinking about this show going forward, and as mentioned, it's very relaxed, just chilling, just having a muse about stuff and talking about some gameplay. And people are coming on. I imagine episode 3 next week, there's going to be a guest talking with me, and then maybe the episode after that as well. I'm doing stuff for my other shows, so keep out for links. Keep an eye out for tweets about that as well. There's links in the description to this to come and follow them all and check them out. But yeah, in March we have the new Alone in the Dark coming out, which I am super pumped for. I've never played the original one. I have played New Nightmare. I have a copy of New Nightmare in my drawer over there, but without the case. And it's one of those weird things where I think that's a game I borrowed off someone when I was really young. Because when did that come out? 1998, something like that. Borrowed it off someone, and I've just had it ever since. But probably not played it since the year 2000, 1999 maybe. But yeah, the new Alone in the Dark is coming out. Very intrigued to see what's going on with that. South Park Snow Day, which I definitely am looking forward to, is a bit of a different take. The Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole were both cool games. Stick of Truth, the superior one. But this is South Park moving back to 3D, and it's given me flashbacks to the Nintendo 64 game, which was just called South Park, I think, right? I used to play that. So my experience with Nintendo 64 primarily was at youth club. I don't know for any Americans listening to this, if you have youth clubs in America, it's basically like an after dinner evening thing where teenage sort of kids age between like 10 and 16 get dropped off, and there's a different day for different ages, and they have discos, they have a bar but no alcohol where you can buy fizzy drinks and stuff, snooker tables, pool tables, you know, ping pong. What did we have? And we had a room in our youth club which had a PC that was connected to the internet, and this was in like 1997, 1998 maybe. or $98.99. So I meant one of the first things I did on that computer was print out song lyrics to songs that I really liked, because you could Google song lyrics and I'd print them out and take them home. I'd also print out biographies of my favorite rappers. So this is like me aged 11. But the youth club also had N64s set up, like two or three of them, I think. And there'd be one with GoldenEye and there'd be one with Super Mario 64. But I played GoldenEye, but they had the South Park game and I was obsessed with South Park at the time. I still love South Park, of course. Who doesn't? But yeah, and it's funny, this Snow Day game coming out is like them going back to the format that was kind of lamented back then, because South Park, it's 2D, you know, the 2D art style is the charm and it didn't really translate well to 3D, but with more modern technology, hopefully Snow Day will be slightly better than the N64 game from back in the day. So I'm definitely going to check that out. What else? Bluey came to Game Pass. Very important. My son has Bluey on the Nintendo Switch, but now I'm trying to convince him to play Bluey on the Xbox so I can get the achievements for it. And I don't want to sit and play it myself. I could do it. And no shame, right? Steve, if you're listening to this, I'm going to play Bluey just to keep you on your toes. But yeah, so that was on my mind. And then there's more games coming out later in the year, which I'm sure I'm going to talk about on this show. But I'm going to wrap it up for today. Go and get Tomb Raider. It's really good. And look forward to next time. Very likely going to have a guest. And thinking about what I'm going to do going forward, it's, as I said, this is just kind of, I'm experimenting as I go along. Sometimes it may not be like even talking about news. It might just be topics that I was thinking about. I made a joke tweet last week about how I'm going to talk about how the PSP is the superior handheld over the Nintendo DS. And I mean, that was a half joke, because that is an opinion I do actually hold. So yeah, I might just for 45 minutes talk about why I think that is the case. And yeah, I joked and said I'm going to burn all bridges by saying that, because not everyone's going to agree with me there, but or not many people are going to agree with me. So I'll do, topical episodes. I mentioned my, retro gaming collection, pick some stuff out of there, talk about that, because there's always things on my mind. Please come and get involved. Like I say, if you want to come on the show, if you're somebody I know, if you're a fellow podcaster, content creator, or whoever, or even just a buddy of mine, and you want to come on and shoot the shit about some games, drop me a message and we'll do that, and we'll do it soon. We'll do it at your convenience as well. I'm recording this on a Sunday, fueled by my coffee, but doesn't have to be a Sunday. That's it. Please subscribe and all that stuff you're supposed to do. Look forward to the next episode. It's quite a positive one today, I think, wasn't it? I wasn't really very ranty or moany. I'm in a very good mood. Despite the weather being shit and it pissing down with rain, I'm in a good mood today. I am going to finish up. I've got a bit of housework to do. Hopefully go and finish Tomb Raider and then go and do something fun with my son. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, have a fantastic day. Look after yourselves. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.